Hi, it's Sarah Motley, and I am joined by Keon Smith. Keon, if you could just introduce yourself, and if you could tell us what you were charged with and what your sentence was, please, or is.
My name is Keon Smith. I'm charged with CDS possession with intent to distribute. I was found guilty of common nuisance. Gave me 29 years, plus 25 mandatory. I gave the time back in January the 18th. I gave everything back for 20. I'm doing a sentence. I'm in Hagerstown, Maryland.
In Hagerstown, Maryland. And is this your first, and I'm just going to ask you to speak up a little bit. Is this your first incarceration, Keon?
No, ma'am. This is not my first incarceration. This is like my third or fourth.
And what has been your, what's your charges?
I had in 2000, I had a CDS possession with intent to distribute. And 2006, I had a handgun on person. In 2008, I had a CDS possession with intent to distribute. And in 2014, I had a CDS possession with intent to distribute.
Okay, and so I see the commonality in all of this is the drug selling. Could you tell me, you know, why do you feel that is? You know, why do you revert back to the selling drugs?
Well, all the time it's not just selling drugs; it's my addiction to money, as well as you know, trying to take care of my family and my kids, not being able to get a job when I'm released. Trying to do what I can to help, and you know, like even as hard as I try out there, it's kind of hard to get a job. Like nobody give you a chance.
Yeah, guys, Keon wrote me a letter, and I thought it was a really compelling letter. That this is the reason why I wanted to interview him, and he was saying, you know, that he had his children, and he was really trying, and the system. You know, their answer to him was separating them. You know what I mean? Like he was trying to do everything that he could, you know, without, you know, reverting to selling drugs and stuff. And, you know what I mean? He felt like this was the last alternative and whatnot. So could you just tell us a little bit more about your journey, about what's been going on, please?
Okay, I had my kids. Well, 2013, I came home and my wife was locked up. She was locked up. So when I came home 2 days later, I had to get my kids. Well, I had no money besides like $16,000 that I had saved up from my last time I was home. And that was running out. Like I was trying to take care of my kids, make sure I got these kids. And I had them all by myself at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, trying to provide food, doing what I can. I'm going to social service. I asked them to help me. They say if I couldn't provide for them, then they would take them away and give them to me back when I could. And I didn't want to be separated from my kids and didn't know how to make it. And I went all the way to an interview. I'll never forget, I got an interview at this place called Purdue in Salisbury, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the interview. I made it all the way through. And all the way till it got time for me to go get my uniform. Well, when I went to go get my uniform, I had shorts on. And they noticed I had a box on my leg. So when they seen I had a box on my leg, the lady went back in the back, and she came back out, and she told them and said, you ain't allowed to work here with that box on your leg. And so at that time right then, I was down to my last $1,000. And I went in my house and I cried about it. I called my man and got back to what I knew how to survive out there.
So you feel like the system is not set up to help you guys once you're in trouble and stuff, right? Or you think, period?
It's definitely not set up to help us. It's definitely more trying to hurt us. And trying to get us, because, you know, on the 13th Amendment, it says you'll never be, you won't, slavery is abolished until you get convicted of a crime. So then that reverts us back to this enslavement. That's the way that they control us. It's no other way.
So how has it been, you know, with your children now? And what's going on with the kids now?
Two of my kids was raised by their grandmother, and she passed. So now they're back with their mother. Well, they've been going through a lot of the trials and tribulations. So one of my oldest daughter, she had got sent to a group home, and I forget the little name of the little Chestertown. She got sent to a group home in Chestertown. And so she just came home July the 31st. And now my next to the oldest daughter, now she's in a group home because she kept running away, disrespecting her mother because they weren't raised by her mother, so they don't really, you know, have a relationship with her. And you know, since their grandmother died, they in pain right now. So even the mother, which is their mother's mom that passed, she's in grieving right now, so she can't do too much right now because she's still grieving. So that's what's going on right now.
Are you in contact with any of your children, Keon?
Yeah, I keep in contact with all of my kids. I try to keep in contact with them as much as I can. I talk to them, you know, well, the one that's in the group home next to the oldest girl, I can't contact her. Because I don't really know where she at. I don't know what's going on with her, but I keep in contact with the mother, and she tells me what she knows, but social service is giving her a hard time right now. So that's where I'm at.
So what are you doing inside there as far as programming and stuff? What are you doing to help yourself once you come out this time?
College courses through Stratford Institute for drug addiction specialists, and I do a lot of cognitive programs like Inside Outside Dad, you know, All the Right Moves, alternative the violence program. You know, I actually started a program called Just Say No, and I'm doing everything I can just to try to hold on until I get home to my kids. And it's not a lot of programs that they offering us after you get your programs. Like, it's like you just stagnate, you're just doing still time.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like, you know, I wanted to have kind of like a step down program. I wanted to open some re-entry houses. You understand what I'm saying? And I didn't want to do the same thing that they're doing around it, because they really don't have, I know you're not a violent offender, but they really don't have, you know, anything for, you know, people, you know, violent offenders, stuff like that. And what I wanted was like a step down program when you guys come out of prison. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's not a whole lot of rehabilitating in there. And then, you know, that's why a lot of people get caught up when they go to like the camps and stuff like that. Because you go from what little, you know, the little security and stuff, and then they give them that freedom, and then they fall on their face, and then they're back. You understand what I'm saying? To medium or maximum security. So what I wanted to do is open up some reentry houses. I want to focus on family reunification. You understand what I'm saying? Say like you, I would take you, your daughters. You understand what I'm saying? I would want to start, you know, being sort of like the mediator, because I'm also a life coach too. But I would like to be the mediator between you and them. You, instead of you just coming home and trying to just go back and assume that role, you understand what I'm saying? Let them sit down, dad. You know, this is how it affects us. You understand what I'm saying? When you're not here, and then you telling them, you know, why this is, you understand what I'm saying, baby? I tried, you know what I mean? I wanted to do this. And because you tell a compelling story. You understand what I'm saying? It touched my heart and stuff. And I've seen go ahead.
It's so much, like, if you could be like, like they don't show y'all the signs that really that how the officers talk to us, how they'll cuss us out, and if as soon as we say something to them, they'll put us on lockup, and if we don't cuff up when they tell us to cuff up because they done cussed us out, so now we got an attitude because they done cussed us out, and we know that they not allowed to speak to us like that. They beat us and then put us in the handcuffs, or if they put their hands on us and we start fighting them, we get 10 years, but they don't get nothing if they put their hands on us.
There's no accountability. I agree. I 110, you are preaching to the choir on that one. You understand what I'm saying? I think that there definitely needs to be some accountability. You understand what I'm saying?
I had an officer. He told me to suck his cock.
That's what the officer told me.
So I asked him, I said, man, what you just say to me? He said, man, you heard what I said. Go lock in. I said, man, I'm not going lock in nowhere. I said, man, you don't talk to me like that. I'm a man. You don't talk to me like that. Talk to me the same way I'm talking to you. I never disrespect you. Basically, locked me up and put me on admin because he said he felt threatened, so they moved me out of the jail.
Wow.
But nobody cared about what he said to me, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody, they don't care about how people feel, you know what I mean? Because nobody's here to protect our rights. Nobody has our rights. Like, even though we know we still have rights. Like if your people come up here, they taking a lot of people visits now. If your people come up here and one girl had a cat stick in her hand and they try to set the contraband, so they didn't let her come back in. They just taking people visits for no reason. They're like really trying to dehumanize people.
Yeah. No, I totally agree, and you guys do have somebody that's trying to, you know what I'm saying? You do have somebody that's not trying, that's fighting for you. You know, that's why I do what I do. That's why I offer this platform. You understand what I'm saying? Just so people won't read about Keon and think, oh, okay, he's just, you know, this drug dealer. He just won't learn his lesson. You understand what I'm saying? I want, you know, to give you an opportunity to say, yeah, you know what? I am a repeat offender. But you know what? Like you said, I've never hurt anybody. You know, giving you 20, you understand what I'm saying? 20 years, almost 30 years. You understand? To me, I have a problem with that. Because, you know, if it's two consenting adults, you understand what I'm saying? People get in more trouble with alcohol than they do with drugs. You understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm not trying to minimize it and stuff. But if it's, I can understand if they got you going on school grounds selling it to a child. But if you are two consenting adults, then, yeah, I do have a problem with snatching somebody out of the home. You understand? For like 20, 30 years. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. So, I mean, I agree.
My daughter, like, she's trying to understand it. Like, you know, because I've always been a prominent person in their life. Like, even if I haven't been there as far as the time, I've always been able to talk to them on the phone. Or, you know, and my daughters, like, they always, like, I'm not going to lie, my daughters, they daddy girls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they don't really, they deal with their mother, but they really don't know their mother like that, to be honest.
Oh my God, this interview just stopped.
Global Tellink, who's a call from?
Joel Moreno.
An inmate at a Maryland correctional facility. This call will be recorded and monitored. If you wish to block.
My mother died when I was 15. She died in my home. My father never been there. My grandmother died in 2005. That was great. She had seven kids. Out of them seven kids, it's only three kids that she got left. I'm surviving by one uncle and two aunts. That's it.
Wow.
That's what my family consists of. And I do what I can. Like, I do what I can for my family. Like, my sisters and them, like, right now, I never call home and ask for money because I had a little bit of money put up. So right now, when my sisters and them say that they need, or my kids tell me that they need, I send my money home to them.
still take care of them. I still take care of my cousins that's locked up. I still send them money. 100 here, 100 there. I still got to take care of my family because my obligation as a man don't stop because I'm a head. My wife, she with another man right now. I even help him out sometimes. Like, I do what I can for him.
Wow.
That's what it is. I do what I can. Right now it's hard, but I struggle and do what I can. Like, there's so many programs out there. Like, that's why I ask you why you ain't on your own home, because right now there's programs out there that you can get that you can just own your home.
Yeah. I'm considering.
I
said, yeah, I'm considering. But listen, so is there anything else that you would like them to know about you before I end this interview?
Just know that, you know, I'm just trying to get back home to my kids. And, like, everybody going to leave a memory. Well, I'm trying to leave a legacy. Something that my kids can say that their grandfather loved them. And that's what I think a life is about.
Keon, I thank you for your time. I thank you for the interview. There was a little interruption on the line, y'all. But you guys got the gist of the interview. So I thank you so much for your time. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.